Welcome to the weekly podcast from Harvest Ridge Church in North Ridgeville, Ohio. Our heart's desire is that you would grow in your love and devotion to Jesus Christ, and that these messages will strengthen your daily walk. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at www.harvestridge.net.
So, I am wearing a jacket and a tie today because, I wanted to go old school. Because how many of you know sometimes it's good to go old school? So I'm going to go old school today. When I think old school, when I think classic, when I think going classic, there's like this tune that goes through my head. You guys want to play that classic tune? Come on, do it again. That's good. You'll get me too fired up if they keep going. So thanks, guys. Thanks for our band for breaking. Anybody know the name of that song? By Deep Purple. That's right. I had that one on a 45. First guitar lick every guitar player learns, right? All right. So classic is good, right? Today is not, I understand that we live in a day and a world today that everybody has to be very practical and your messages have to be effective to, no, don't get me wrong, I do this all the time. I talk about your daily life where you live. But some of us need to go through geometry class occasionally. Anybody been through geometry class? Yeah, you know what geometry is. It's that moment where you need to know what they're teaching you, because you need to be able to figure out stuff as you go through life. And you hear it, and you hear it, and you hear it, and you're like, I don't get this. Anybody ever said that? You ever said, I don't get it. And then all of a sudden, you're like, oh, I get it. This is easy, right? You ever have that happen? That's what I'm praying for today. I'm praying that today, in this message, God will reach down, he'll speak to your heart, and you will get this concept, this classic concept, that if you'll get it, it'll change your world. All right, so if you got a Bible, we're going to go classic today. Everybody grab a Bible. Hopefully you brought yours. Grab a Bible, Luke chapter 6. That's where we're going to go, is Luke 6. We will get to the text. It's going to take me some time to get there. There's one other thing you do when it's classic, right? When it's classic, you have a bulletin or a piece of paper, grab it, grab a pen. I'm going to give you some stuff today that you need to take notes on. Why? When you write this stuff down, you actually use your hands, so you use more of your senses than just sitting there hearing. You're actually digesting it and writing it back down. That's the reason teachers have you take notes, is when you write it down, you retain the information. All right? Y'all ready? I don't think we're ready. You ready? Let's do this, right? All right. I'm going to talk to you today about the law and how you get a clean slate from God. Colossians 2:14 is our text for this sermon series. When you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. But God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it. All your sins forgiven. The slate is what? Wiped clean. So we're going to talk about laws today. Did you guys hear how they decided the vote for the Democratic caucus in Iowa? How'd they do that? Did y'all hear that? They flipped a coin. So all of the thousands and millions of dollars spent, and it all comes down to the what? Flip a coin. You'd think they could come up with a literal better approach than that, right? But they didn't, because that's what their law was. So their law came down, because laws are sometimes stupid. Right? Can I read you a couple of laws? Some laws that I'm sure might have had a purpose at some point, but I'm not sure about now. Did you know in North Carolina it's against the law to sing off key? Do y'all know that? In North Carolina, literally is a law in the books. It's against the law to sing off key. I'm glad that does not happen here in North Ridgeville. You would all be in jail. I always sing on key. All right? Sometimes it's Yale. Anyway, all right. Did you know in Gainesville, Georgia, you're not allowed to eat fried chicken any other way than using your hands? Do you know that? In Gainesville, Georgia, the only way you can eat fried chicken is using your hands. I racked my brain. I cannot think of another way to eat my fried chicken without using my hands. So that law I don't understand. So this is a good one. In Carrizozo, New Mexico, it is forbidden for a female to appear unshaven in public. I think they're revising that. You have to use mustache wax at least. Here's another one. I love this. In Arizona, if you're found stealing soap, you must wash yourself until the bar of soap is completely used up. That's good, isn't it? You know why that is, don't you? Because they want you to make a clean getaway. Oh, come on. That's just funny. I don't care what anybody says. All right. You know, as Christians, we've been called a people of the book. From as long as we've been Christians, we've been called a people of the book. And if you've ever spent any time reading this book, anybody ever read the book of Leviticus, maybe? You ever read the book of Leviticus? Don't you the whole time sit there clawing your eyeballs out saying, God, why? Right? We've been called the people of the book, yet most of us never read the book. Because to be really honest with you, about half of the Old Testament's really boring. Really boring. You haven't read it. You know why you haven't read it? There are a bunch of laws in there, and they're stupid laws. I believe this is the inspired word of God. I believe God speaks through this, and he has inspired it and given it to us. Yet there are some really dumb laws in here. How about the problem is we may not understand. So let's talk first about the three types of laws. If you got your pen out, now is when you want to write the first one down. The first one is, I want to talk to you about civil laws for just a second. There are three types of laws in the Bible. First one is civil laws. In Exodus chapter 21, 28, if a bull gores a man or a woman to death, the bull is to be stoned to death, and its meat must not be eaten, but the owner of the bull will not be held responsible. I'm so glad you told us that, God. My life would be miserable if you hadn't written that for me. You ever read any of these laws and you're like, I don't get it. How many of you own a bull? This does not apply to you? But, you know, it goes on to say in the next verse, but if the owner of the bull knows that the bull is in the habit of goring and he gores somebody to death, then the owner must pay the price for it. Why are these laws there? Because you and I don't have bulls. But what we have is insurance companies, and we have liability on our cars, and you're not allowed to drive without liability. Why? Because, you see, the civil laws of our world now are based upon the principles of the civil laws in the Bible. You didn't know that? Did you realize that the guy that wrote the Constitution, John Adams, was an avid student of the Bible, and most of the concepts from which he created our Constitution and the laws that govern this country came because that man was an avid student of the Bible? You didn't know that, did you? You know, John Adams was a great Christian man. Yeah, he was totally trashed in the political field because Christian people in the political field usually don't go so well. There's a second type of laws. There's ceremonial laws. For example, this is in Deuteronomy 14:21. Do not cook a young goat in its mother's milk. I'm glad you told me that. What is the purpose of this? Now, what we see is we see a ceremonial law. We don't understand why in the world the law exists. Can I tell you why the law exists? Would y'all be all right with that? This ceremonial law is a law that says something very, very clear to the people that heard it, because in the culture of Canaanite culture, they would milk a mother. And then they would take a baby suckling lamb and they would boil the lamb, the suckling lamb, in the milk of its mother as a sacrifice to their pagan deities. So what God was doing with this law, when this law was inspired and written by him, this law says, you are not to worship me the way everybody else worships me. This was a law that set them apart from the rest of the world. This may not matter to you, but come on. Maybe it should. Maybe some of you putting that junk on Facebook about, pray this prayer and God will bless you, pass it along, need to understand that that's garbage. That's not how you work. Do not act like the pagans in this world. The pagans that are superstitious. All right, I'll move on. The third one is moral laws. chapter 20 of Exodus. Y'all probably have heard these before, right? Do not, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, and you shall not steal. Have y'all ever heard of those laws? Those are part of the what? Ten Commandments. Now, these are moral laws. These are moral laws that determine how you act and how you interact with other people. So why have these moral laws, civil laws, ceremonial laws? First of all, the civil laws are there to oversee matters of justice in the governing of the people. Some of these aren't very just in our eyes. Some of the matters, if I were to pull some of them out, but some of the laws regarding slavery and how you treat captives, we don't consider them very just in our eyes, but you have to understand you are a people who live in a culture that is governed by laws. What were the laws? You got to back up and put yourself, when the Bible was written, those original laws were written, let me tell you how it was. It was like junior high, except the whole culture was. So whoever matured first and got the biggest weapons first ruled the entire world. And everybody else had to do what? Kowtow to those three or four that hit puberty 2 years before everybody else. Right? So whoever had the biggest weapons made all the rules. But what the laws of Scripture do, most of these laws, even though they're many, many are imperfect, they were people wrestling with how do we govern the behaviors of the bandits and the people that are out of control so that we can live civil, peace, orderly lives. And they were governmental laws. And they were written for a reason. Now, they're imperfect. They're imperfect. And they're allowed to be imperfect. Because they were never meant to be perfect. They were meant to be there to stop people who were destructive from destroying. So that's the civil laws. Then there's the ceremonial laws. These are a way to express devotion to God and God alone. I read you the one about the goat and the mother's milk. I'm in the mall one day. I'm studying Hebrew. And I'm studying my Hebrew, and I'm going through my note cards. And a guy looks over my shoulder and says, "You're reading Hebrew?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I'm Jewish. I read Hebrew." I said, "That's cool." So we struck up a conversation. As we're talking, I said, "So, you know, what does your faith believe? Why do you believe it? Blah, blah, blah." He said, "Well, my mom told me, she told me, son, go to temple and don't eat a cheeseburger. Be a good Jewish boy." I'm like, "What?" Well, they had taken the don't cook a goat in its mother's milk, and they had taken that to mean that you don't mix cheese with meat. And therefore, they have this whole Jewish kosher system that's set up around one concept, and they took the concept and they made it into stupid stuff rather than what it was intended to do. It was intended to be, you are devoted to God, do not worship Him like everybody else, and they made it into a whole bunch of rules. Sounds like Christianity to me. Sounds like most of the Christianity, most of you have had shoved down your throats your entire life. And you bought hook, line, and sinker because you think that's all there is. And what this is geometry class today, and I'm going to pound into your brains for the next few minutes. I want to pound into your brains, but that is not the way to do Christianity. Are you ready? So, the moral laws, the last bunch, are laws that are for all people, for all times, for all cultures, and all places. You shall not murder is a law that is to be obeyed no matter what culture you live in, right? So there are ceremonial laws, there are civil laws, and there are moral laws. And the moral law is there, and that is still binding because we'll get to what that means. But basically that means this is how you are to treat one another. You are to treat them with love and justice and mercy. All right, so here's what I want to tell you about the law. The law no longer has any authority over you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you no longer have to obey the laws. That should be good news for you. I've said this to you in this Clean Slate series two or three different ways, two or three different times, but the fact of the matter is that those of you that are all concerned with rules all the time, you're driving the rest of us crazy. I hate sign people. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever travel and, you know, you like stop on the side of the road and you pull into this one like place to go to the bathroom and get some gas, and you pull in and you go to the front door, no shirt, no shoes, no service. And then you go here and if you don't do this, or you go to get a drink and they say, fountain comes, we'll be charged, blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. And everywhere you turn, you know, there's another sign. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You guys know what I'm saying. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You guys are looking at me today like, this is, come on, nudge your neighbor, tell him to wake up. I'm going to have to come down here and talk to you. Do you know what sign people are? They're people that got to make every rule all the time. They drive me crazy. I hate sign people. I don't like sign people. Don't give me, one time I'm walking down the road, those of you that don't know me, I'm walking down the road, and me and my wife were out for a walk, and I looked over, and we walked past, and somebody had just put a new driveway in. New driveway. Really, really cool. I'm glad they put in a new driveway, but they put a sign up. You know what the sign said? Do not touch the concrete. Come on, everybody in the room. What do I have to do? Why? Because it's a stupid rule. If it said, please stay off the concrete or wet cement, I got enough good sense not to do it. But when you have to make rules, rules make you want to break them. Am I correct? So instead of being a guy that's going to walk the rest of my life trying to keep a bunch of rules in the Old Testament that I can't even understand, right? It's all right for you to read the book of Leviticus and go, I don't get it. That's the reason I tell you to read the book of Matthew. You can get that. Right? All right. So the rules are removed. Romans 7:6. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released. Everybody say released. About a half of you help there. Everybody say released. Mm-hmm. So, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law. Did y'all get that? You don't have to obey the rules. You have been released from the law. So that, no, hold on. Those of you that all you hear is, yeah, dude, party time in my house, Super Bowl party tonight. If that's your attitude, you need laws. If that's your attitude, you need laws. The laws are for you. But why were we released from the law? So that we might serve in the new way, not the old way. But in the what? The new way, the way of the Spirit, and not in the way of the written code. Because you see, the old way were a bunch of laws to tell you what not to do, and the Spirit allows you to know what you ought to do. So, you think I'm making this up? All right, I got Scripture. Y'all ready for some Scripture? I got a whole lot more than this. Let's go, though. Romans 10:4. Christ is the culmination of the law. Now, that word culmination is a Greek word. If you read it in the Greek, it's telos, telos, T-E-L-O-S. And what that Greek word means in every place it's used is we get our word telescope from it. So you look through a telescope. When you look through a telescope, what is out there appears like it's right here. So Christ is what's out there brought right here of the law. He is the ending of the law. He is the end. He is the fulfillment of the, I'm getting ahead of myself. He is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Because how many of you know you cannot obey all the rules? You need to be righteous. All right, Matthew 5:17. Do not think I've come to abolish the law or prophets. By the way, this is Jesus talking. Do not think I've come to abolish the law or prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to do what? Fulfill them. And anybody want to guess that word fulfill in the Greek is the Greek word telos. What Jesus is saying is, I am coming to make all of the law completed right here in you. Jesus said, I am the fulfillment of all the law. And one more, Galatians 6:2. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you do what? You fulfill the law. So all the law of God can be fulfilled in us. So that leads our text today. When Jesus showed his authority over the law, this is our text, okay? One of the original Ten Commandments was, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Y'all with me? So we're talking about moral law here. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. This is moral law. If you ignore it, it will be to your physical, emotional, and spiritual peril. I say this as a person that has often broken this. If you work 7 days in a row or 14 days in a row or 21 days in a row, at some point when you work long enough, you're going to crash physically and emotionally because God made you to rest. And if you don't rest, you will crash. So this is a law from God. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy because God knows you need to rest. But you see, what does that mean? That's like treat your sister nice. What is treat your sister nice? Well, I don't know what that means. So mom and dad have to make rules to tell you how to obey treat your sister nice. Like if you hit your sister, you'll be grounded for a month. Right? So therefore, you make laws to govern the law. Are y'all following me? So what they did with the Sabbath, what does it mean to honor the Sabbath? Well, they started saying you can't thresh wheat on the Sabbath because that's work. And you can't walk more than a certain distance because that's work. So they made the rules to govern the rules. Because God knows rules are not enough to keep us in check. We need rules to tell us what the rules mean. Because we don't have enough sense to know what it means to rest and honor God. We now have to be told how that looks. So the Jews made up all these laws. And that's when Jesus shows up. Luke chapter 6, verse 1. Would you stand to your feet in honor of God's word, please? One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples began to pick heads of grain, rub them in their hands, and eat the kernels. That would officially be known as threshing wheat, otherwise known as work.
It's only a few.
Really? So some of the Pharisees ask, why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Because remember, they had rules to govern what the rules were because we're not smart enough to understand the rules, so we got to have more rules to tell us what the rules are. Should I make a rule about that? All right. Why are you doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? Jesus answered them, have you never read what David did when his companions were hungry? So Jesus now goes off on them by bringing up the great example of Israeli power. His name is David. He is the king. He was the priest guy. He was awesome. What did David do? David did when he and his companions are hungry. Anybody ever get hungry on Sunday? It's a good idea to eat, isn't it? It's just a good idea to eat, right? I get hungry. Somebody's got to make the food, though, right? So we got a problem. David did when his companions were hungry. He entered the house of God and taking the consecrated bread. So by the way, it was against the rule for him to enter that part of the house of God. Second of all, it was against the rule for him to eat the consecrated bread, and he ate what is lawful only for the priest to eat, and he broke another rule. He gave some of the holy food to his companions. So David broke all the laws. And Jesus said to them, listen to this, the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. So we'll come back to what that means. On another Sabbath, he went into the synagogue and he was teaching. And a man was there whose right hand was shriveled, and the Pharisees and the teacher of law were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. But Jesus knew what they were thinking and said to the man with the shriveled hand, get up and stand up in front of everyone. So he got up and stood there. Then Jesus said to them, I ask you, which is lawful? So what are we talking about? Law. It's work to heal people on the Sabbath, because it's work. You're not allowed to do that. So what is lawful on the Sabbath? To do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it. And he looked at them all and then said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was completely restored. So the guy was healed, breaking their rules about how to keep the rules. Father, I pray that you'd help us to get this, get it in our heart. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. Man, you can be seated. All right, all of that was my introduction. I've got 5 minutes to preach my sermon. Y'all ready to go? I have two simple points. They're very simple points, and I'm going to make them very clear to you. First of all, first point is the law is for humans. The law was written for humans. God was not up in heaven and said, you know what? I'm going to make up a bunch of rules. Now I need somebody to obey them. That's sort of like a parent saying, hey, I've got some toys in this house that need picking up. I think I'll have a couple of kids. It's a little backwards. So God did not make the rules first, but he made humans first. As a matter of fact, God only had one rule at the beginning. He said, this is my tree, don't eat my tree. But Adam and Eve couldn't keep their hands off of God's tree, and they got in trouble. So God's rules were very simple. Work, and don't touch my stuff. Do your chores, and don't touch my stuff. Sounds like every parent I've ever known that's any good at raising kids. Don't mistreat my stuff, and do your job. That was God's rules. That's pretty simple rules, isn't it? But Adam and Eve couldn't obey that, so God had to give them more rules. And then they couldn't obey those, so he gave more rules. Because here's the deal. Listen. Those of you that think that things are going to get better if you break the rules, no. The more rules you break, the more rules you're going to get put on you. If you can't obey the simple rules in this land, then you've got to have a parole officer, and then your rules really go up. Are you getting this? The more free you are, you're more free, the more rules you obey. That's right, the opposite of the way we want to think. So here's the deal. The law isn't for God, the law's for humans. God didn't make laws so he would have fun watching us break them. See, sin is supposed to be the exception, not the rule. But we have made sin the rule and obedience the exception. What God wants is very simple. God wants two things out of you. Very, very simple. What God wants from you is two things. That you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. This is in the Mark passage. That you would love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. And the second one is that you would love your neighbor as yourself. Those are the two rules. That's what God wants. If you obey the motivation, then all of the rules sort of fall into place. If you love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you obey the ceremonial law, which says, I want to love God on Monday, not just on Sunday morning. All of the laws of that ceremonial separation to God are obeyed if you put a relationship with Him first. And you're to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then you're to love other people. Now, this would make our marriages a whole lot better. This would make our parenting skills a whole lot better if we would love God more than we loved our kids or our spouse. I want this one to settle in. Some of you are looking for the one. You don't need the one. You need the two. You need to pay attention to the one because God is the one. And if you put Him first and love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, then you know how to love all the other people in your world. And that's good preaching right there. Somebody should say amen. All right, good. So what happened was because we don't love God first and because we don't love people right, we break rules. So God entered this sacrificial system. Y'all have read in the Old Testament, you know, about them always sacrificing something. And there's like 14 chapters on the proper way to dissect a bird to make sure that it's sacrificed. Has anybody read this other than me? It's like crazy, isn't it? So you get in mind that what God wants is sacrifices. God likes sacrifices, but God does not like sacrifices. Sacrifices were never His intention. He doesn't want things to be killed, but what He wants you is to do something very simple. Before you can take a sacrifice to atone for your sin, when you're carrying an animal you're going to kill, you are recognizing one simple thing. I did wrong. I was talking to somebody yesterday. They have an addiction. They've had an addiction for years. I know it. I've talked to them about it for years. Years I've talked to them about their addiction. It's always like, no, I'm not addicted. I'm fine. Because you know the person you're best at lying to? Yourself. So, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I got it under control. Yesterday they whispered, yeah, I realized when I did blank, I'm not under control. I'm addicted. Well, you know what happens then? When you pull it out in the light and you admit that you did wrong, guess what happens? You're able then to get clean from it. So what God did with the sacrificial system, God does not like killing animals to cover sins. He didn't like it in the Old Testament. He doesn't like Jesus bleeding on the cross to cover your sins. You know, the Bible actually says something in the book of Hebrews. Every time you go back and you sin again, you are crucifying Jesus Christ over and over and over again. And we need to stop that. Stop it. So what we do is, the reason for the sacrifice is not because God really gets a kick out of a hamburger on the grill. It's not, oh, I mistreat you, I'll bring a steak to the grill. There we go, God loves me now. As a matter of fact, what God wants is you simply to do right so you don't have to bring sacrifices. But nobody does right, so you have to have sacrifices. Everybody understand now why there's a sacrificial system? It's not so God can get a thrill out of it. It's so you actually have to do something to prove that you're sorry for what you did. So, people got the idea, God really likes my sacrifices. Therefore, I'm going to bring sacrifices to God and give him a steak on the grill because God likes it. Therefore, God owes me, and now I can get what I want. Isn't that how you approach Christianity? It's how you're told to approach it. Throw that $10 in the plate, and God will give you $100. Ha! Have you ever heard anything like that? Yeah, what are you doing? You're bribing God. You know, you make the right sacrifices. You serve Jesus and go off to Africa, and God will bless you for years to come, brother.
This is God, Zach. Go to Africa.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Well, isn't this the mentality we have towards God? The mentality is that God wants to be bribed. Because you see what they did? They turned the sacrifices into a way to bribing God to get what they want. And we do the same thing. Oh, I'm going to worship Jesus, and I'm going to make the right confession so he will bless me. I'm going to pray Psalm 91 over my kids, and therefore my kids will be perfect. Superstitious people. You got it backwards. God doesn't like your sacrifices. What, you think I'm blowing this up? Can we read the Bible? Let's go Isaiah chapter 1. God's not impressed with your Facebook post. Pass this on to 10 people and you will be blessed. If you do that, I pray that God blows your computer up. Every time. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 11. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me? Says the Lord, I have more than enough of burnt offerings. If God wants a burnt offering, what's he going to do? Come on, what's he going to do? He's going to send fire from heaven to some cow wandering around the hillside, and he's going to burn it up, right? God doesn't need your junk. I have more than enough of burnt offerings, rams, and the fat of fattened animals. I have no pleasure in the bull of goats, lambs, and goats. When you come before me, who asked this of you, this trampling in my court? Stop bringing me your meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. Your new moons, your Sabbath, your convocations. I cannot bear your worthless assemblies, your new moon feasts, your appointed festivals. I hate with all my being. I hate it when I show up on Sunday and you sing songs, but you don't mean any of them. Oh, that's not in there. Maybe it is. They become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread out your hands in prayers, I hide my eyes from you. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Kingdom come, will be done. Our Father who art in heaven. What, you think you can manipulate God into doing what you want because you say enough prayers? That makes you God, not him. Why don't you just say it? You're a control freak trying to manipulate God Almighty, and you're going to lose that battle. He says, when you do that kind of praying, I'm not listening. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds. Get them out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do what's right. Seek justice. Hey, Steve Camp, that'd make a great song. Defend the oppressed. Take up the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us settle this matter. Let's settle it. Let's put it to the end. Says the Lord, though your sins are like scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be white like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. God doesn't want your rules. He wants your heart obedience. He wants you on Tuesday to wake up to follow him. That's what he wants out of you. He wants you to be singing the songs on Tuesday we sing here on Sunday. That's the reason we try to sing songs that are catchy rather than some of those others. God wants to wipe your slate clean. This is not just so you're not guilty. It's because he wants you to have a life. All right, so John here. John. We're going to pretend. John is in debt past his eyeballs. He owes on two cars. He owes on his house. He's got credit cards maxed up. He's got student loans. He is so far in debt, he can't find a penny to feed his kids. So I come along and I write this big check to John. And I give you a check to pay every single one of those bills, every one of them. You be doing debt-free scream, right? You be, yeah! Yeah. So anyway, next Sunday, I'm standing out at the door, and I see John come rolling up in a brand-new Hummer, you know, with his big wheels and his little bitty tires, thumping, you know, with the bass, rocking the entire neighborhood. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And I walk up, and it's a Hummer, you know, it's like $60,000 because he decked that sucker out with chrome everywhere. And I walk up to him. I said, dude, where'd you get the car? He said, I bought it. I said, dude, I just paid off all your debt. Gave you a clean slate, paid off everything. What are you thinking? How'd you get this? Where'd you get the money for it? I went in debt. I got a loan. What am I going to think about him? He's stupid. I'm allowed to say that. Wouldn't you think that? You would think that. That's crazy. So what God does is God gives you a clean slate. He pays off all your debt, your spiritual debt. You don't owe him anything. You don't owe him nothing. You're free from all the laws. You are now totally righteous in the sight of God. Though your sins were scarlet, now they're white as snow. You are pure in his sight. Now why in the world do you want to go enslave yourself with a bunch of rules and a bunch of regulations and a bunch of sins that are going to only kill you and your family? What God wants is he wants you to be free. The rules are necessary if you're following the way, the new way, the way of the Spirit of Christ. All right, second thing, God can break his own rules. Aren't you glad God can break his own rules? Aren't you glad? No, come on. If you have a car accident and you're laying in your car pinned in and you're bleeding, aren't you glad that the police officers and the ambulance drivers can break the speed limit rules to get to you? Aren't you happy about the rules being broken? Because you see, the rules can be broken when there's justice for breaking the rules. And those of you that want to try to manipulate God by using the Bible to manipulate him, God will break his own rules. I'm glad God broke his own rules. Do you know why? Because the original rule was this. In Genesis 2:17, but you must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. When you eat of it, you will surely die. God said, don't touch my stuff. And what did they do? They touched his stuff. And what happened? They have to die. So do you know what your punishment is? You have to die. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is what? Death. You have to die. God, I'll tell you what you deserve. You deserve to be a French fry in the pit of hell. A little crispy around the edges. That's what you deserve. Because when you sin, you do wrong. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ does not give you what you deserve? He gives you what his mercy wants to provide for you? So what Jesus offers is not you eternal damnation. He does not offer you more rules, more judgment. He offers a clean slate, a new start, a new beginning, a new life, and hope that you can live the right way under his power rather than under your sin. That is good news. Healing is not a formula either. This guy, we do not stand up here today. If you are sick, come up and stretch. The guy stretched out his hand. He was healed, right? That's not a formula. That's no more a formula than anointing with oil is a formula. That's not a formula. It's not going to work. Anybody that wants to formulate God and figure out what he's going to do, how he's going to do it, when he's going to do it, and formalize him and make him obey your rules. If I confess enough, I am healed. Anybody ever hear that one? Yeah. If you confess that, all you're going to do is be wasting your breath. Because God is not under obligation to obey the rules as you define them. Aren't you glad he isn't? That means God can show his mercy on you and his grace on you. Instead of you trying to pin him down, figure him out, manipulate him, why don't you try loving him and obeying him? It's very clear stuff. Our band and prayer team's going to come forward because we're going to pray for people to be healed today. I'm glad that we don't have to go through the formulas to be healed, to have the mercy of Christ. I'm glad we don't go through those. Because if that's what your Christianity is, I'm going to tell you, you are missing it. That's like me saying to my wife, who, lovely lady, just had a birthday yesterday, you look really good for 39. Man, I'm really dating a younger woman these days, huh? But I want to have a relationship with my wife. I want to love her. So on Monday mornings at 8:15, you will kiss me passionately. Yes, that is a rule. It is written in the heavens. Therefore, we have a relationship now, right? Does she like that? I will bring you flowers on the 14th of every other month. And therefore, I will show you my love. You don't want that. She doesn't want that, does she? Do you want that? Why do you think God wants that then? Why do you think God wants that? Those of you trying to figure God out so you can manipulate him to give you a blessed life, I just want to tell you this. God wants to bless you more than you can even imagine. So stop trying to manipulate him. Just enter into a relationship with him. So I normally do the heads bowed, closed eyes and stuff. I'm not doing that. Don't do that. Hey, you're in this room today. You do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It is your day to make him the Lord and Savior of your life. You'd want today to enter into that kind of relationship with him. We want to celebrate that. If you're here, just lift your hand up nice and high. We want to pray with you. You're in this room. You want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. You want to step the rules out. You want to step into a relationship with Jesus. Lift your hand up real high. I want to pray with you. Yeah. Yeah. There are others? Yeah. Leave them up. We're going to, anybody else? Come on, it's time. Let's pray a prayer. Everybody, keep your eyes open. Come on, don't bow your head. You're talking to somebody you love. I like to look at her when I'm sweet talking to her, right? Hey, God, thank you that there are several people who lifted their hand this morning and they said, I want a relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, give them that relationship. Give them renewed life. Take them and give them hope from this moment on that they would walk in that newness of hope in you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Where does my time go? We're going to sing a song.